Well, greetings and salutations. I get to say that one more time during our study of the confession. And so we will consider the last article and then to we'll end by reading the conclusion as they close out the confession. And certainly I would assume you would agree with me, it's appropriate to end with this article because it really is the way in which you conclude your statement of faith. In other words, the statement of faith opened, if you remember the confession, it opened up with the being and person of God and his attributes and his purposes and his plans and his sovereignty and the person of Christ, and it worked its way through, and now we come to the final article, and the final article speaks of the final resurrection, or if you would, or as I would like you, or I would think about it, the consummation of all that God had purposed to do. And so again, it is certainly an appropriate conclusion because it really is the conclusion of the Bible. In other words, the confession, I believe, in many ways follows the course that we see in the Scriptures. And so, it's really dealing with the reality that shall come upon everyone. And not just every group, but everyone, right? Everyone. Everyone that has ever had the breath of life throughout all of history. Whether the evolutionist would be right, which he's not, to say we've been here 400 million years and all these other philosophies and beliefs about different things that... The reality is whoever is made in the image of God and has had the breath of life shall come to the final day. And that ought to be a very sobering thought to us, and it is appropriate that the confession would close in that sense with both an exhortation and a warning. And so as we think about it tonight, I want us to think about that in that context, because as often as we quote, and I'm going to read a bunch of scripture tonight, but I think on particularly in this article, it's better to let scripture speak for themselves. So I will read a lot of scripture to you just to support what's being said. But I think we repeat often what it says in Hebrews, but I'm not certain. Matter of fact, I know we don't really have a good understanding, or the understanding that we should, when it says it's appointed for a man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. And again, I believe if we really knew the weight of that, it would radically change our every thought and every action. And that you and I, as we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Son of God, that ought to become more of a reality to us, and ought to have more of an effect on us, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And here's the thing, if you think about it. It doesn't matter where you are on the train of end times. In other words, if you think about it, all true Christians, regardless whether they're premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial, pre-trib, mid-trib, partial preterist, full preterist, zombie, there's all kinds of things out there. There's one common factor, isn't there? There is a final day. Whether it's 1,000 years or this, that, or the other thing, every single true child of God knows at some point there's going to be a final day. A final resurrection, a finality to all that this world has presented to us, all that this world has had presented to us by God. And so, again, it's a subject that covers every single soul, whether they are unbeliever or believer. Let me just read this to you. It's a little lengthy, but I'm sure you will agree that I think it's appropriate for the time that every single child of God believes that there is a final day. It says this: when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say unto them, assuredly I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? And he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, those words are absolutely inclusive. Those on the right hand and those on the left. And brothers and sisters, there's only two kinds of people. Those that will be on the right hand of Jesus, and those that will be on the left hand of Jesus. And so again, that thought of it's appointed for a man once to die, and then comes the judgment, or as these brothers lay out here, and let me read the article to you at this point, Article 52, there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust, and everyone shall give an account of himself to God, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. The other reality, or another reality, is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ alone is going to be the one who handles that judgment. Mm-hmm. Right? And he has been given the authority. He has been given the position. Therefore, God has what? Highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In that day, in that final resurrection, regardless of how or when it takes place, there will be that meeting of every single nation, every single person who's ever had the breath of life, and the Lord Jesus Christ will be the one who brings either life or judgment. And my friends, that is it ought to be a consuming thought. I've often thought of that saying, and I've probably mentioned it, and probably many of you know it, you know that saying that says, when all is over and time has passed, only what's done for Christ will last. And in that day, and you could certainly read 1 Corinthians 3 if you wanted to look at that and consider that, but it's so important for us to understand that reality. And that's the very reality that many people don't understand. Right? For if they truly understood it, they would repent. But it's still, again, denial of truth, ignorance of truth, rejection of truth doesn't change the truth. The truth is always the truth. There is a final day. There is a judgment. There will be a resurrection. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, as I said, that Jesus is Lord. But I want to just take a moment and try to break it out, if you will, with two different thoughts. And the first thought is this. Well, let me pose it as a question, just to ask you this. And that is, will the believer, will the child of God, will he ever come into judgment? Yes?
Yes.
No? Maybe so. How many yeses? How many noes? Does it depend on how I define judgment?
I think so.
Okay. I believe that it does depend on how you define judgment, right? And that's the first point I want to make, because I will say, read to you the words of Jesus, where Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you," in John 5, "he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." So there's explicit language that the child of God, the believer, shall not come into judgment.
Can't separate from judging.
Huh?
Can't separate from judging.
Okay, but it's dependent on how you define judgment. Because again, let me read this to you. With a preface. That does not mean what Jesus said, that the child of God, the believer, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life, does not mean that we shall not all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you don't understand or define judgment, it could be very confusing. Okay, who's right? Jesus? Well, Jesus must be right. Paul must be wrong, because Paul's the one that says that. Let me read this to you, and this is in Romans 14. "As I live," Paul quotes, "says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess." And then Paul says, "So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's eyes." So, does it not depend on how we define judgment? Now, I will set forth what I believe. I do not believe that the child of God comes into judgment in the sense of being separated from God. But I do believe, I know it will be, that the child of God will give an account of what he has done with what he has been entrusted with, to put things in their proper perspective. And I believe that's what Paul is stating in Romans 14. And it is not a contradiction that there is not a contradiction between there is judgment and there isn't judgment. One is a judgment for life, and one is a judgment to death. And that, again, it very often we can get hung up if we do not understand what is being said in the Word of God by the context, by the narrative, and by the emphasis that's being placed at that particular point. So again, when the brothers read this, and it's interesting, they do quote from Romans 14, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust, and everyone, and they're including, in my understanding, they're including everyone, the just and the unjust. And everyone shall give an account of himself, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it is good or bad. And if I understand this correctly, good is faith in Christ. Bad is no faith in Christ. And then there are those things that accompany salvation, and that's where I believe you and I will give an account, that more as a way in which God is glorified, and we are continually sanctified and prepared for what lies ahead for us. So guess what? None of us get away. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. To those, remember what Jesus said? To whom much has been given, what? Much is expected. And then you can go to the other extreme and say that the servant who knew the Lord's will and didn't do it shall be what? Beaten with few stripes. So there's this reality of being right on both ends of it. Even in the separation, there is an understanding to be had that some will receive the greater judgment, even as Jesus said, it would be more tolerable in the day of judgment for for Sodom and Gomorrah than for those in Capernaum. Again, I'm not trying to confuse. I'm trying to work through what is the reality that's laid out in the Word of God. So just think about that. The unjust. All those who have not fled to Jesus for refuge. Is that not what continually tears at our own hearts about the ones that God has entrusted to us and the ones we have relationships with and the ones that are our responsibility, our children, our grandchildren, our relatives, our parents, whatever station of life? Is that not the thing ultimately that keeps us up at night? Is that our own could perhaps be those who go out and be separated from Christ through all eternity? It's a horrible thought. Because in that day, there is no negotiations. There will be no conversations. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. It won't be what so many people have distorted into saying, well, it'll be a day of reckoning. And everybody has to meet their maker. Somebody told me that the other day. Well, you know, everybody has to meet their maker. But it really was in the context of, well, you know, they've done some good and they've done some bad, and hopefully the good will outweigh the bad. There's no conversation. There is no negotiation. It's either enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. That is the way this confession will end, and it ends on a thought that I think you and I should seek to keep in our minds. Revelation 20 says this: I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each according to his works. And death and Hades was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friends, that final resurrection will be a day of inexpressible joy and of eternal horror. And again, that is that truth is not for the lighthearted, but it's for the child of God. And you and I should be provoked by it, humbled by it, challenged by it, prodded by it, bow before it, long for it to come, long for it never to come. Depending on where a person lies, whether on the right hand or the left, but that resurrection will come. It will be the final consummation of the purposes of God, and it will continue without end. And as much as you and I can seek to contemplate what all that means, we can. But it will be a day of consummation, and I wanted to mention that to you. And I wanted to, and the brothers don't quote it in here, but I wanted to have you think about it. It will be the consummation of the purpose of God that will then usher in God's eternal purposes for us, whatever those may be. Right? And I wanted to read this to you, and it's in 1 Corinthians, and think about it from this standpoint, that day begins, well, that day both ends and begins something. It ends something before, and it begins something after it. But now Christ has risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, By man also came the resurrection of the dead, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ also be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign, he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, that being the Son, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things in under him, that God may be all in all. There's a day coming when the consummation of God's purposes since the creation and the beginning of this world will be brought to its finality. And then God will be all in all. And then, as I said, the sheep shall carry on with him for all eternity, and the goat shall be separated from him for all eternity. It is the most delightful thought, and it is the most dreadful thought. And that's where, in many ways, we need the balance of the Spirit of God to give us the grace to know both the terror of the Lord and the love of God. So as I conclude, I wanted to read this last statement, and it's basically the last statement in the Bible. It says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. And I, Jesus, have sent my messenger to testify to you of these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." What a day it will be. What a final day it will be. And to you and to me and to those who look to Christ, we have nothing but anticipation and hope and a sure anchor. And our future is the sufferings of this present time, as Paul says, are not to be compared with the glory that shall follow. But so is the opposite. The glories of this present time and the toys and the shiny objects and all the things that allure men, they're not to be compared with the suffering that shall come in that day. I didn't mean to start preaching, but I can't help it. It's just true. It's just true. And so how appropriate, again, that the brothers would end on such a thought of the final resurrection. And again, don't matter, pre-mill, post-mill, all-mill, saw-mill, whatever you want to be. Still a final day. Still a judgment. The believers shall never come into judgment as far as being separated, but every knee shall bow and confess, and everyone shall give an account of himself. And knowing that should provoke us. So before we close out the confession, I do want to read the conclusion, as is laid out here. So let me just read this to you. This is what the brothers have laid out. "Thus we desire to give unto Christ that which is his, and unto all lawful authority that which is their due, and to owe nothing to any man but love, to live quietly and peaceably as it becometh saints, endeavoring in all things to keep a good conscience, and to do unto every man of what judgment whatsoever, as we would that they should do unto us, that as our practice is, so it may prove us to be a conscientious, quiet, and harmless people, no ways dangerous or troublesome to human society, and to labor and to work with our hands, that we might not be chargeable to any, but to give to him that needeth, both friends and enemies, accounting it more excellent to give than to receive. And also we confess that we know but in part, and that we are ignorant of many things which we desire and seek to know. And if any man shall do us that friendly part, to show us from the word of God that which we see not, we shall have cause to be thankful to God and them. But if any man shall impose upon us anything that we see not to be commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ, we should in his strength rather embrace all reproaches and tortures of men, to be stripped of all outward comforts, and if it were possible to die a thousand deaths, rather than to do anything against the least tittle of the truth of God, or against the light of our own conscience. And if any shall call what we have said heresy, then do we with the apostles acknowledge that after the way they call heresy, worship we the God of our fathers, disclaiming all heresies rightly so called, because they are against Christ, and to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the obedience of Christ, as knowing that our labor shall not be in vain in the Lord. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how foolish man blasphemeth thee daily. O let not the oppressed return ashamed, but let the poor and the needy praise thy name. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. I hope we've enjoyed the confession. I hope we've learned. I hope it's provoked us. I hope we will stand by it. Again, our ultimate authority is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the rock on which we stand. And yet God has been pleased for over 400 years. And even though it went into some sort of some periods of obscurity and lost some of its luster, and others have adopted other confessions along the way, I believe that this will stand until that final day. And the reason I believe that is because it contains truth. And so may God bless us as we seek to press on in knowing him and pleasing him. Well, that's my end of it. Anyone have any closing comments, thoughts?